Pesach last week, we were discussing the principles of Dibur in the sense of Chalosim in the Torah, which Chalosim in the Torah can be affected through Dibur, which don't even require Dibur. We spoke about Dharma and Shavuos, then we spoke a little bit about Farshas Trumas and about Hekdesh. We moved on to Kedushin and Gittin and things which require a Maisa, but may require a Dibur to accompany the Maisa. There is a Gemara that appears in the second Berachah Maseches Kedushin, Nachmeb Tes, which is a critical Gemara in terms of our whole understanding of the relationship of Dibur and Machshava as it relates to many chalosim of the Torah. That's a sugya, a famous sugya. The Gemara tells the following story. There was an individual who was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, and he was planning on selling all his property. He lived in Babel, he wanted to sell his house. So he went in and he sold his house to somebody, but he didn't bother telling the person that the reason why he's selling the house is because he's planning on going in Aliyah. And then his plans fell through. So whatever happens, Nefesh ben Nefesh, he had to put things on hold, and he ended up not going to Eretz Israel. So now he's out of the house. So he comes to the Kohen, he comes to the person who bought the house with him, and he says, "Listen, I only sold you the house because I thought I was moving to Eretz Israel, whatever, and this guy was wrong, I never ended up going. It turns out that the house was all Mekach Tov, so it was all with the understanding that I was going to Eretz Israel, and I'm not going, so I want the house back, so I want to cancel the sale." So the Dintari came to Rava. So the Shaila was, how do you pass in such a case? On the one hand, the guy's telling us the truth, that he was only planning on selling the house of Manasseh to Eretz Israel. On the other hand, he didn't tell us at the time. So the Gemara says the conclusion of the sugi was that Dvarim should leave Enam Dvarim. That if he would have actually stipulated, he would have actually said and made a conditional sale. So we know there's a parsha in the Torah of making sales all of tonight. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, a little bit later on in the third part, that if I makanish anisha on the condition that it rains today, magarish anisha on the condition X, Y, and Z, I sell your field on the condition X, Y, and Z. So we learn out from Parshas Matos what's called the Tanai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the whole Eber Yarden, the east side of the Yarden, to Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, Allah Tanai, on the condition that they're going to come and fight on the west side of the Yarden. So it was a matan Allah Tanai, and it says Beferish in the Torah that if you do the Tanai, you get to keep it. If you don't get the Tanai, then you don't get to keep it. So the Gemara says we derive from Yeridin and Chayshim Mishpat and Ibn Ezer. You can make a Mechir Allah Tanai, matan Allah Tanai, a Kedushin Allah Tanai, a Gitna Allah Tanai. There's a whole parsha of Tanai in the Torah. So comes the Gemara and says, should we view this as a Mechila tonight? The Gemara says, no, you can't. You know why? Because he didn't say it. Because he may have thought that he was selling it all tonight, but he didn't stipulate it. He didn't say it explicitly. Not in writing, not in verbally, nothing. He had in his mind that he's selling it all tonight. So the Gemara says, that's what constitutes a Dvarim Shebelev. So Dvarim Shebelev ain't a Dvarim. The Torah isn't Mesiaches to what a person had in his mind. We only take into consideration what a person actually said. So in that sugya, the Rashba is bothering the question, how can we say there's a din of Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim? Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim is not true. It's contradicted by last week's sugya. We spoke about that the Torah does give certain credibility to what a person thinks. The Torah says you can be mafresh truma b'machshava. The Torah says you can be makdish things b'machshava. We said last week maybe you can take a dinner mitzvah b'machshava. Maybe you can obligate yourself with tzedakah b'machshava. There is a parasha in the Torah of Dvarim Shebelev. There are dinim in the Torah that do recommend. The Torah does recognize what a person has in his heart. So how do you resolve that contradiction? On the one hand, we just negate Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. On the other hand, not so posh. Sometimes the Torah does take Dvarim Shebelev. So if you would have asked me, I would have said it's not a kash in the first place. It says it's not exeris akasav. V'nech shalachem chumaschem. Kol nedivlev olus. Every case that we spoke about last week, where Dvarim Shebelev kicks in, that's because there's a special pasuk to that effect. Otherwise, under normal circumstances, the starting point is everything has to be verbalized. The Torah doesn't. The Torah is not speaking to people's hearts and innermost feelings. In terms of dinim amunas, in terms of chaloisim, in terms of misnehta, yeah, we care what you're saying, not what you're thinking. So that's what I would say. But the Rashba doesn't say that. The Rashba says a different part. The Rashba explains that in Lamdas, Dvarim Shebelev doesn't apply here. Dvarim Shebelev means when I do a Maisa, or I do a Dibur, and now we want to go into the deep recesses of your mind and be mavata what you said. So now, because we have a contradiction. On the one hand, you said, I'm selling you the field. You went through the motions of selling the field, and now you're telling a story that, oh yeah, by the way, you didn't really mean to sell the field except for X, Y, or Z takes place. You didn't say that. You didn't do that. So everything that you didn't say is pointing in one direction, and now you're telling a machshava and fakir in the opposite direction. So that's what the Gemara means, that Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim Levatel Dvarim Shebepeh. But Dvarim Shebelev in and of themselves, Can the Torah grant validity to Dvarim Shebalev? That's a sugya in itself. That was last week's sugya. So last week's sugya was sometimes yes, sometimes no. The Dvarim Shebalev is no. It says Levate Visvasayim. I was a little excited when Rashi, this week's Parsha, says Kiyafli. So Rashi says Lefale Nedav, and Rashi says Yafish Befiv. That's what we were talking about last week. Dvarim Shebalev flaw. That a flaw means a frosh Befiv. So when you're dealing with a machshava canceling, negating a Dvarim Shebalev, or Dvarim Shebalev Maisa, so that's the sugya and kedusha of the test. The Dvarim Shebalev Enam Dvarim. When you're talking about potentially creating a chalos with machshava alone, so then you have to go case by case. Some chalosim yes, some chalosim no. Neder shvu and aziris no. Hekdesh yes. Tadachim maybe yes. Mitzvah maybe yes. So you have to go case by case to see whether dvarim shebalev is effective. That's not dafnam test. Dafnam test is the dvarim shebalev canceling the dvarim shebalev. This principle, Dvarim Shebalev Enam Dvarim, are there any limitations to this principle? So the Gemara has in Masechet Bava Basra an important limitation. We spoke about this in other contexts before. The Gemara says that Dvarim Shebalev can't cancel a Dvarim Shebalev. That's only when it's not so clear what the person's Makshava was. I see a guy sells land. So you have to take a survey. How many people sell land because they're going into Aliyah? Sometimes, a lot of houses here are sold. Guy's moving to Eretz Yisrael. Not always. The guy puts up a for sale sign. Maybe he's planning on moving around the corner. So how do you know why a person is selling his land? So comes the Gemara and says, when you have a Dvarim Shebalev that wasn't easily guessed upon by everybody, I know why you're selling the land. If you want to tell me why you're selling the land, tell me why you're selling the land. You didn't tell me. I can assume that you're selling it for not limited to any particular reason. But what if you have a situation where it's so obvious from context, what we call Dvarim Shebalev Velev Kalado. The Gemara doesn't use that phrase. The Rishonim use that phrase. The Gemara uses the phrase Umdana. Umdana means that it's so obvious to us. We look at it, we see, it's an Umdana the Muchach. It's so clear as day that you're trying to do X, Y, and Z because of reason A, B, C. The Gemara says that's a whole different ballgame. So whenever you, the Gemara says, Man Tana does little bus Umdana. The Gemara quotes Tanoim who say that when you have an Umdana, it's Umdana the Muchach, it's so obvious that that's what you're doing, then we will take into consideration the quote unquote Dvarim Shebalev. That's no longer Dvarim Shebalev, that's the phrase that we coined, Dvarim Shebalev Velev Kal Adam. So the Gemara gives some examples of this. The Gemara says, let's say a person makes him a wild statement, he's giving away all his property. He's giving away everything, he wants to give away all his property before he dies. Why is that? Because he doesn't think that he has any children. But let's say it turns out that he does have a child. He doesn't even realize that he had a child. He was married, he had a wife from Dinas Hayam. He didn't even realize that he has a child. So the Gemara says, the guy makes this sweeping statement, he's giving away every last penny to somebody before he dies, and then this gal, Ladvar, he finds out that he really has a child. So the Gemara says, it's so obvious that the person never would have given such a matana, even though he didn't say it. Reuven didn't say, I'm giving you a matana because I don't have any children. He didn't stipulate that. He said, I'm giving away a matana, but everybody realizes from context, but a normal person does that if he has a child. So the Gemara gives that as an example. Other examples, we have that's Umdana de Muchach. So Umdana de Muchach trumps the principle of Dvarim Shebalev. Then, and only then, we would take into consideration Dvarim Shebalev. We would say that that's called Dvarim Shebalevo, Ovalev called Adam. There is a major machlekes haposkim. We spoke a little bit about this last year on Shavuos night, but I usually have a rule that anything I talk about Shavuos night, I can assume that not everybody remembers, including myself. So we'll chaz it over for a second. There's a major machlekes haposkim. It's a very, very serious ramifications. There's manazer in terms of hilchos geirus. How much can we invoke the principle of dvarim shebalev enam dvarim? With its sense limiting the feature of Dvarim Shebalev Velev Kal Adam, which are Dvarim, how much does that play out in terms of Hilchos Geirus? So there is a principle in Hilchos Geirus that in order for a person to convert, it's not enough just to do a Maisa Geirus. It's not enough just that they go Mila, Tefillah, those of course necessary, but there has to be Kabbalah Samitzvahs. We assume Mahalocha that Kabbalah Samitzvahs is Ma'akeh, it's a Dinmin HaTorah. The question is, where does it come from exactly? How do you know this is a Dinmin Kabbalah Samitzvahs? The Gemara talks about it. The question is, what's the Mokhor and Chumash for Kabbalah Samitzvahs? All the dim of Geirus are derived from Matan Torah. The fact that you have to have a bris mila, the Gemara derives that from Sukkim, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which preceded Matan Torah. How do you know you have to go tefillah b'mikvah? The Gemara derives from Kabbalah Torah. How do you know it's not a mikdash? The Geirus to bring a korban, the Gemara derives from Matan Torah. Sukkim, all of it is Geirus, the dim of Daraisa, which are derived from Sukkim. Kabbalah Mitzvahs, the Gemara never spells out a mocha. The Gemara never says menon mili if the Geirus to bring a korban mitzvah. The Gemara talks about it. The Gemara never says, how do you know? Where does it come from? That's a machlokes in the Rishonim. So the Rambam seems to say that you don't need a makor for kabbalas mitzvahs. That is the definition of geirus. The Rambam says, what does it mean to be Jewish? The guy's, the person's not Jewish, and he says, I want to become Jewish. What do those words mean? I want to become Jewish. I want to become Jewish means I want to become part of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean to become part of Klal Yisrael? It's kabbalas haTorah, ma'amarasina. How can you conceive of a person becoming part of Klal Yisrael and not be mekametz? If a person is born as a Jew, so we have a din. Yisrael pishachat Yisrael hu. So there's very little that he can do to remove himself from being part of Klal Yisrael. But the definition of Klal Yisrael means that a person does mitzvahs. That's what Yehuda Levi writes in a Sefer Kuzari, that the definition of the nationhood of Klal Yisrael revolves around Shmiras HaMitzvahs. When the concept of nationalism in the secular world, so there are a lot of different factors that make up whether a people is considered to be one nation. So they have a common area they live, they have a common language, they have whatever, there are different things that make up a nation. Here, when you have to, you have Klal Yisrael, you have a very, very strange thing. You have a Jew who's living in Poland, a Jew who's living in Tehran. They can't speak to the same language. They said they live thousands of miles apart. They wouldn't recognize, they couldn't go. So what makes them part of the same nation? So the answer is, I think the Rilevi has a frame, ain umzu elam b'tarasah, something like that. That the definition of the definition of the nation of Klal Yisrael is the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. That's what the Rambam says, that a person is going to say, I want to be Jewish, but I don't want to keep mitzvahs. So that's the Leitzanah. That doesn't mean anything. It means that becoming Jewish means, that, oh, yeah, sure, keep the Shalom mitzvah, I want to be Mekabel mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam seems to present it. And others seem to say, no, that there's some kind of a mokah, some kind of a pasuk somewhere. Maybe it's learned out from Nasa and Nishma. We never have a mokah for kabbalas mitzvahs. But the mice of the din is that you have to have a kabbalas mitzvahs. What constitutes kabbalas mitzvahs? How complete the kabbalas mitzvahs is? Can you have kabbalas mitzvahs with certain stipulations, with certain limitations? So, yeah, I ain't the shiur. That was last year's Shavuos tonight topic. But the basic fundamental principle of kabbalas mitzvahs, so that we assume for sure has to take place. So the post of a shayla, what's the din of the following case? A very, very common shayla. The Beis Din is interviewing the person, and they're asking the prospective ger yoris, are you mekabel mitzvahs? Are you ready to give Shabbos and kashrus to the mishpacha, and you can put on tefillin, and you're going to make brachas, and you're going to daven, and you're going to do all the mitzvahs, the rice, the rabban, everything. And the person has been prompted to say, absolutely, yes, no question about it. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to keep Shabbos. I'm going to keep kashrus. The Beis Din is listening to these words. And the Beis Din has reason to believe that this is not necessarily the case. So what's the din? Does that qualify as a kabbalas mitzvahs? So Moshe Feinstein writes it in Shuf, but maybe one could have argued that that's called kabbalas mitzvahs. Why? Because Dvarim Shablai Veinim Dvarim. Maybe what a person thinks in the heart doesn't count. So the person expressed that they were kabbalas mitzvahs. So just as the person who was selling land to go to Eretz Yisrael, we don't care what he's thinking in his heart. It doesn't interest us. All we care about was what he verbalized. So he said, I want to sell this land. So good, you take it at face value. So too, the person says, I'm going to keep Shabbos, Kashrus, Tasa, Mishpacha. Maybe we have a right to take that at face value. That's where Moshe throws out such a possibility. So Moshe backs out from that. He says, no, that can't be. He says, it depends on the context, says Moshe, it depends. If it's Tacha, Devarim, Shabbalev, namely, the person presents to us that they want to keep Shabbos, Kashrus, Tasa, Mishpacha, and Mefira, Osei, Neinu, it really looks like that's what they want to do. That's the reality. But in the heart of hearts, they're really not thinking that. But we have no way of knowing that. Means we honestly, objectively look at the person, and from the context, it really looks at the person wants to keep Torah mitzvahs. So then, even though if Igloy Mils, even if it turns out later on that we find out that in the heart they really thought otherwise, that's not the Dvarim Shablei Veinim Dvarim. Moshe says the rules of gamers are governed by the rules of Dvarim Shablei Veinim Dvarim. But says Moshe, what if the Beis Din is interviewing the person and they're asking them, do you want to keep Shabbos? And the guy says, yeah, absolutely. Do you want to keep Kashrus? Absolutely. Do you want to keep Tazer? Absolutely. The person's swearing up and down they're going to keep the mitzvahs. And Rav Moshe says, come on, we have to be intellectually honest. We know that they're lying. We know they're not telling the truth. Anybody who has their eyes open will realize immediately that they're not telling the truth. How do we know it's the truth? So Moshe says, a man's converting because of a non-Jewish girl. A girl's converting because of a non-Jewish man. So comes Rav Moshe and says, the person says they're going to keep Shabbos. The Jewish partner doesn't keep Shabbos. So the non-Jewish partner is going to keep Shabbos. The Jewish partner is Trey. The couple are violating, they're living together now. They're going to keep Taras and Mishpacha. What kind of Leitzanus is that? He says, we know that they're just giving us the right answers because they've been prepped to do so. So Rav Moshe says, if you can tell from the context that the Kavos HaMitzvahs is not sincere, then you can't hide behind Devarim Shel Levi'in and Devarim. Then we have to invoke the other Gemara. That's the Gemara of Basra, that Devarim Shel believe over Leiv Kalad, and whenever it's an Umdur of the Muchach, it's so obvious as day, and then we have to take into consideration that Devarim Shel believe. So we can't just kid ourselves and say, no, I don't care what they think. As long as they said the Mekam HaMitzvahs, that's all that matters. All that interests us. Now Rav Moshe says, that's no good. Devarim Shel Levi'in and Devarim is a sugya that would appear in Uchaz Geirus, but it's not relevant 99% of the time. When would it be relevant in Uchaz Geirus? If you really had a case where the person really sounded sincere, a little genuine, but in the Kapi Shemaya, they really had in mind for care. So then Rav Moshe says, then the person would be a Geir, and then the Geirus Taka would be Chal, because from our vantage point, so we heard a Kavos HaMitzvahs. We had no reason to believe there wasn't a complete Kavos HaMitzvahs that would, in fact, qualify as a Geirus. That's where Rav Moshe contrasts two scenarios. He contrasts the scenario that we said where the person comes to us and everybody knows that it's just a sham, it's just a joke, it's only on us. That for sure is no good. In contrast to another case, Rav Moshe says, with Ma'aseh Shaya, they came to Rav Moshe, I think we spoke about this case also, and some we spoke about last year also. A famous Ma'aseh came to Rav Moshe, there was a woman who was a Mekabel Mitzvah, and she looked very sincere at the time for the Beis Din, but there was a little bit of a problem. The problem was, it happened before Shavuos. She was, this goes back, Rav Moshe already was Nifta, over 20 years ago, 25, 27 years ago already. 27 years ago, really. So this tshuva must have been, who knows, 20 years before that. So I don't know if the Bali Dover is alive anymore. Nice Shakachai, there was a woman who converted right before Shavuos, but she had a job that she knew that she would have to go into work on Shavuos. But at the time, so what she should have done is, she should have told the Yodim that, and then she should have had the Geirus after Shavuos. She should have gone to work on Shavuos, and then she should have been Megayer after Shavuos. But she wanted to be Megayer in time for Rus, and in time for Shavuos. So she was Megayer beforehand, but she knew in her heart of hearts she's going to go to work on Shavuos. So she was Mekabel Mitzvahs, she was Mekabel Shabbos, and Kashrus, and Yom Tov, and everything that works, but she knew that she was planning on going to work that Shavuos. So the Chuvi writes that she came forward like 20 years later, feeling terrible, thinking that maybe her original Geirus was no good. Why? Because she wasn't Mekabel Mitzvahs. What do you mean she wasn't Mekabel Mitzvahs? She just had in mind one thing. The Gemara has a discussion about a Geir who was Mekabel Mitzvahs Chutz B'Davar Echad. What if a person comes forward and he says, I'm going to do all mitzvahs except for putting on tefillin. I'm going to do all mitzvahs except for shatnez. So that's what's called Chutz B'Davar Echad. The whole machlokes could be it's no good. The whole Geirus is no good. That's really a machlokes acharonim. How to be pshat in that Gemara. So it could be Kabbalas Mitzvahs is an all or nothing. So if she would have actually said, I'm a Kabbal all mitzvahs except for not doing Malach and Shavuos, we would not have been Megara. That may have been a Geirus which may have been Botel. But here she didn't say it. She was just thinking it. So Ramesh writes, she was thinking it, but we had no idea at the time. We should have known Baruch HaKadosh, she's going to work on Shavuos. She's genuine, Horaya. She didn't do anything else. She didn't do any other affairs. And for Kerem, she says, if when we asked her, what did she do? She didn't really go to work. She said she didn't drive to work. She walked to work. She did everything with Allah. But we're not advocating doing that. We see that she really was sincere. She was genuine. So Moshe says the fact that in the heart of hearts she was planning at the time to do something that's wrong. So Moshe says that's no malach. That's not going to disqualify. That's not garnished. That's not going to disqualify the Geirus. That's a classic Dvarim Shel Levi'in Einam Dvarim. So Moshe says in theory the principle of Dvarim Shel Levi'in Einam Dvarim does apply to his Geirus, but it applies in a very unique situation. It only applies in a situation where it's not clear as day. When it's clear as day, then it's an umdur of the muchach, then it wouldn't be, then the whole sugi would unravel. So when she writes in the tshuva, she should tell the woman she should feel okay, she should feel good. She said, 20 years before, she's been Jewish, no, she had children, everything, the Geirus is good, no problem whatsoever. So that which Rav Moshe assumed is another portion, the Dvarim Shel Levi'in, when it applies, does apply to the Geirus as well, so not everyone agrees to that. So Reb Chaim Oizer disagreed. Reb Chaim Oizer was, Reb Chaim Oizer writes in a tshuva that he's not so sure that Dvarim Shel Levi'in applies to Geirus Bechlal. Why? He says, when do we have a sugya called Dvarim Shel Levi'in Einam Dvarim? That's when we're dealing with halachas, which are basically dibur oriented, halachas that are basically mice oriented, like a Mekadesh Anisha, I'm a Megarish Anisha, I'm giving you Matana, I'm giving you Mechira. So then you can discuss something that I have in my deep, dark recesses of my mind. Can that disqualify what I'm acting out, what I'm speaking out, orally, verbally, writing, whatever the case may be? But, says Rechaim Eizel, what if you have something where the whole thing is believe, where everything's believe? So I'm going to say, Dvarm Shebelev Einam Dvarm. That's a contradiction in terms. When you have a certain type of a chalois, a certain type of a mitzvah din, that the whole thing takes place in a person's heart, so then we need your heart to be sincere. So you're going to say, I'm a Kabbal Belev, but I'm not really a Kabbal Belev. I mean, Dvarm Shebelev Einam Dvarm. The whole thing is a Dvarm Shebelev. So that's what Chaim Leizer writes, Kabbalas and mitzvahs, means belay. That's what the words mean. A Kabbalah's mitzvah is belay. You have to articulate that Kabbalah. If you don't articulate it, has a base, you know what's in your heart. But the nature of the din is not a din of dibur. It's not like when I'm taking a neder. It's not like when I'm selling something. When I'm selling something, it's the ma'ase mechira that matters. And therefore, my dvarim shebelay can't cancel the ma'ase mechira. But by Kabbalah's mitzvah, the whole thing is belay. So if my lev is not sincere, so then that's called dvarim shebelay v'ein dvarim. That's called a lack of Kabbalah's mitzvah. So that's Chaim Leizer would disagree with that. Shtiglat Erev Moshe. Chaim Leizer would be machshir the geiros anyway for a totally different reason. Because Chaim Leizer held that when you have a Kabbalah's mitzvah, even though the Gemara says that you can't have chutz b'davarecha, if the geir says that I'm a kabbal everything except for chazir, so that's not a good geiros according to many. So Chaim Leizer says that means when the geir says that I don't want to be bound by the mitzvah chazir. But when the Gera says, I'm accepting Chazir, but I'm telling you that I'm going to be Nikshal Chazir every once in a while, L'taiva, so Rav Chaim Leizer says, maybe that's not called the Chutz B'davarecha. So over here, the woman is not Makabal, she was Haraya. She didn't drive, she's not doing real Malacha. She wasn't Makabal, the Sum of Shavuos. But she's saying, listen, I can't lose my job. So again, would we have told her not to go to work? We have told her not to go to work. Should we have delayed the Geiris, or should we have delayed the Geiris? But bottom line, we didn't do that. So to disqualify a Geiris based on Chutz B'davarech, Chaim Leizer would say, that's not an issue based on something totally different. And Rav Moshe happens to disagree with that. Rav Moshe says, Chutz B'davarech applies even L'taifa. So you have a Machlekes, the Gedolei Olam, between Rav Chaim Leizer and Rav Moshe. They would both be Machshir the Geiris, but for totally different reasons. Rav Moshe says the Geiris is good because Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. So Rav Chaim Leizer says, no, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim doesn't apply to Geiris. But we could still salvage the Geiris based on a totally different consideration, because that's not called Chutz B'davarech. So at the end of the day, the woman's Jewish, her kids are Jewish, everyone's Jewish, sure, we have nothing to worry about. But it's a different channels how we're getting to that conclusion. So getting back to that story, in terms of Dvarim Shebelev, so the starting point of the sugya is that Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. You cannot use a Dvarim Shebelev to negate a Maisa. But the only time that may be trumped is if you have a situation where it's not a Dvarim Shebelev of an individual, but it's an Udda Demuchach, Dvarim Shebelevo of a Lev Kolodom. Continuing with the sugyas of the role of Dibur in terms of creating Chalosim, the Gemara raises the question several places, the main sugyas in the end of Maseches Nedarim, about what if a person expresses a Dibur, and then they immediately want to back after the Dibur. They want to retract the Dibur. Under what circumstances can they do that? So they took a Nedar, now they want to back out right away. They said they're going to sell something, they went through a Maisim Chira, now they want to back out. They were Makadosh Anisha, they want to back out. Makadosh Anisha, what's the din? Under what circumstances can a person have ever back out from something? So the Gemara has an interesting concept called Tech de Dibur. The Gemara says that if a person made a statement and then they back out immediately, Tech de Dibur, so then the statement is balta. Whatever they said, they just ignored and null and void by the halacha. So Tech de Dibur kedibur dami. The Gemara has a whole discussion, just technically speaking, how long is Tech de Dibur? So Machlokes is it the amount of time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri? It's a question of a split second. So it's approximately, you know, I don't know, 1.5 to 2 seconds or so, that phrase, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, whatever it is, a couple of words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, that's the Shia called Tech de Dibur. Then the Gemara says that Shia of Tech de Dibur doesn't apply all the time. There are four exceptions to the rule of Tech de Dibur, at least. But the Gemara gives Rishon may add on one or two more. But in the Gemara in the Dharma it says Hilchas Atech Ledibur Kedibur Dami with the following four exceptions: Chutz Mekadesh Megaref. I'm sorry, Mekadesh Megadef of an Ovid of an Azara and what did I say? Chutz Mekadesh Megaref Megadef and Ovid of an Azara. Right, four cases. So one of the four cases. So Kedusha means the person standing under the chuppah. He says, a Rebbe Kedusha, puts the ring in a finger, then half a second later, he says, no, just kidding. I don't really want to be Mekadosh you. The Gemara says, that doesn't work. The Gemara says that you want to be Chayyid, Tech Ledibur after Kedusha, that's not effective. Well, let's say a person gives a get to his wife. So we said last week, you give a get, so you hand the get to your wife, and you say, Harei Zagitech. And he hands her the get, Harei Zagitech. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. You know? So the Gemara says, no, Tech Ledibur can't cancel a get. Well, let's say the person is an Ovid of an Azar B'dibur. So he goes to an idol and he says, Eliyata. So he makabel the idol as a god. So if a person does it, he's chayv misa for avodah zarah. Normally avodah zarah is some kind of a maisa of avodah zarah. So here the Gemara learns after the Pesach and Sanhedrin, vayishtach v'lo vayom v'lo elach Yisrael. It says by the Egel that they bow down to the Egel, and they are makabel it as a god. Vayomru elach Yisrael. So the Gemara says that we derive here a hekesh, just as if you mishtach v'lo avodah zarah yichayv misa, as a psuchim in Pashas Shoftim, elach vayishtach v'lohim achirim. That's carries with it an oynish of skila. So too, if all you did was you said Eliyat, all you did was makabel belahus, that's also considered to be an act of avodah zarah. That's why we spoke about yesterday in the days of the Crusades. So they would sometimes do all they wanted the Jews to do was they didn't have to do any grandiose thing. They just had to be accept Isaiah as a god. They just had to say in fact the words Eliyat. And then they would leave him alone. So you can't do that. That's Mamash Avodah Zarah, to say that, to accept Isaiah as a god, to accept anything except HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So that's an Issa D'Oraisa of Avodah Zarah, and the carries with the Chi of Skila. So that's a Yehor Vayavor, so that's an outright act of Avodah Zarah, even though it doesn't involve any particular action. So if a person says Eliyat to an Avodah Zarah, and then a second lady says, just kidding, didn't really mean it. So just kidding, and he's Yosef Lebeis Haskila, Schaif Skila for that. Or if the person is Megadev, last week's Pasha. So yesterday's Pasha. So the person is Mechar from Megadev, it's Hashem. And then a second lady says, no, I didn't really mean that. I'm retracting from that. So he's also Chayef Skila. He goes with the Avodah Zarah, it's the same base as Skila. So the Gemara says, the basic rule is Hilchas HaTeich HaDiv HaKedi B'Dami, but these four examples are exceptions to the rule. So how do you understand what kind of strange thing is this? So you have a twofold kasha. Number one, what kind of a strange thing is this, that Teich HaDiv HaKedi B'Dami, he didn't say it, there's a principle called Teich HaDiv HaKedi. Where the Chazal figure this out from? You can cancel a Dibur. And then, if you're going to tell me, you can cancel the Dibur. So then, why are there exceptions? Why are there some cases that you can't? So there's a major machlokes that we shared, how to understand just what's going on, what are the mechanics of this sugya. So Rabbeinu Tam has a very unique sheet about Teich de Dibur. Rabbeinu Tam says that Min HaTorah, Teich de Dibur doesn't exist. There's no such thing called Teich de Dibur. Min HaTorah, you gave your word, it's finished. You said over the Zohar, you mekash nish, you mekash nish, you give him a time, whatever you did finish, it's over, it's done. The whole institution of Teich HaDibur, at least most cases, is only a din mid the Rabbanan, says Rabbeinu Tam. Chazal instituted this takana of Teich HaDibur. Why in the world did they institute this takana of Teich HaDibur? So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, look at the shear of Teich HaDibur. What a strange shear of Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Meiri. Why did all shiurim, in terms of defining how much time first get back out, where did that shiur come from? Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Why does that describe Teich HaDibur? So Rabbeinu Tam says, he thinks the reason is based as follows. The din is that a person is supposed to give Shalom Aleichem to somebody. So if somebody sees you in the shuk and gives you Shalom Aleichem and you don't return the Shalom Aleichem, that's a problem. That's an aveira the Gemara says. You're supposed to give Shalom Aleichem. So for sure, when you see your Rebbe, you're supposed to give the proper cover to your Rebbe. You're supposed to greet your Rebbe. The Gemara says in Brachas that a nosin Shalom Rabbi, the Machs of Shalom Rabbo, is Mesalach Hashchinim Yisrael. If a person gives a Shalom Aleichem to his Rebbe or returns a Shalom Aleichem to his Rebbe, he causes the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence to leave Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara, so what that means is not that you shouldn't give Shalom Aleichem. It means if you just give him a regular Shalom Aleichem like everybody else, if you just say, oh, Shalom Aleichem, how you doing? Slap him on the back. So the Gemara says, that you're not allowed to do. You have to give him a Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, you might read. You have to give him a covenant of Shalom Aleichem to Rebbe. If you just give a regular Shalom Aleichem or you give him a box of Shalom Aleichem to your Rebbe, so that's inappropriate. But you're supposed to give, Avadi's supposed to greet your Rebbe. Avadi's supposed to return a greeting to your Rebbe. So Rabbi Natam says, I think he's based on Shalom, I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Natam says that imagine the following scenario. A person's involved in a business deal. He's closing the business deal. He's about to close, and the Rebbe walks by, and he's afraid, I can't talk to the Rebbe, because if I talk to the Rebbe, then I won't be able to negotiate, I won't be able to back out from the deal. The Rebbe's going to walk by, didn't give him a Shalom Aleichem, or the Rebbe greeted him and didn't return the greeting. Gaval, terrible, what a terrible bizarre Torah. So Chazal wanted people to have that little bit of a break, that even though they're involved and they're buying and selling, they should still be able to greet the Rebbe when the Rebbe walked by, Rabbeinu Tam says. Therefore, Chazal made up a shiur. The shiur was called Teichadei Dibur. How much is the shiur? Shel Malach HaRebi. That's where the shiur came from. Because it was a response to that phenomena, that problem of potentially not being able to greet the Rebbe. So they gave a person a leeway. They said, don't worry, greet your Rebbe, and come back to sales like good anyway. You can still back out, you can still negotiate, even though a couple of seconds have passed, as long as it's within the shiur of Shel Malach HaRebi. Very, very interesting shot of Rebbe Natam. So therefore, Rebbe Natam says, since the whole thing is only mit the Rabbanu, min HaTorah, there's no such thing, Teichadei Dibur. Where did Teichadei Dibur come from? Was it Tekhanas HaChamim? Laman, to give a person the ability to back out and greet his Rebbe at the same time. So therefore the Chazal are not going to institute that in these areas of Halacha. We're not going to save somebody from being Ovid of a Zara because of that Takanas HaChamim of Shalom Alecha Rebbe. The guy, the Ovid of a Zara is not greeting his Rebbe. The Magadev, we're going to follow the Dinim Deraisa. Kedushin, Gerushin, these are serious areas of Halacha. We're not going to change Uchas Kedushin and Gerushin. We're not going to be Matanishis Islam to let a guy give Shalom Aleichem in the marketplace. So basically, Rebbe Natam says the starting point of the whole sugya is that Teichadei Dibur doesn't exist. There's nothing Teichadei Dibur. It's such a wild thing, Teichadei Dibur. The starting point is whatever words you said. That's it. It came out of your mouth. That's it. It's yourself. It's done. Elawat Midirabbanon and Mekachomemka in certain areas, they instituted the idea of Teichadei Dibur. So they extended that in other areas also. Even if it's the door of the Gemara, it's Teichadei Dibur. So Rebbe Natam says, Midirabbanon, Midiraisa is also such a thing. Midiraisa, the whole concept of Teichadei Dibur doesn't really exist. That's Rebbe Natam's very, very unique way of understanding. So most of the Rishayim, I don't think, accept Rebbe Natam. Most of the Rishayim assume that, well, Teichadei Dibur is the Rabbanon. To give a guy the ability to give Shalom Aleichem, very, very, novel idea. So most of the Rishayim say that Teichadei Dibur is really a Din Deraisa. Where did it come from? What's it based on? And how do you understand the exceptions to the rule? So the Ran, Masechet Nedarim, gives his beer. The Ran says that Teichadei Dibur is based on the following premise. When a person goes through a chalos, so he has to be going to the daito. The person does something betos. If a person does something without gemir's das, he doesn't really understand what he's doing, so then the chalos is in chal. If a person takes it, the betos is not chal, kedusha betos is not chal, mechir betos is not chal. Everything is a suk. The person has to agree with das. We spoke about earlier this year, all the sugyas of das. So it comes around and says, it's understood that when a person says there, gives a certain degree of das, that there's an umdina, so to speak, that the person is still kind of thinking about it. Those people jump and they shoot their mouths off a little bit too fast. So the person says, yeah, I'm offering the truma. I'm selling you the land. It's into the mechira. The person always has in the back of their mind that, maybe I'm not 100% convinced I'm going to do it. Maybe I'll have a second or two to rethink about it. So says the Ran, Teichadei Dibur is a shear that the Chazal determined that within Teichadei Dibur, we can assume that there's no real Gemir's Das yet. The person is always leaving that window of opportunity. That's why people do business. That's why people speak. They speak first and think later. They shouldn't do it that way. But Lamais, that's the notion of Eilam. So it's not that there's some grandiose, serious cost of halacha mashm sira called Teichadei Dibur. Teichadei Dibur is just a way of Chazal assessing that this is what the Daza Adam is. And then the Mele said, Din Deraisa, because if Lamaisa, you went through the Mechir without Das, the Mechir is not Chal. If Lamaisa, you went through the Hafrashas Tru without Das, Lamaisa, you took the Ned without Das, and the Ned is not Chal. So since the Daza Adam is always, Bechi Agad, that he wants that window of opportunity, he wanted 2 seconds to rethink for a moment, so that's considered to be, an assessment of the Daza Adam, and that would become an effective Din Deraisa. Says the Ran, the Medra Lamurim, we could suggest such a Svara that the person didn't really mean it. He really meant he wanted the window of opportunity. That's what they're talking about, not such significant statements in life. The guy's buying a bag of potatoes, so when I go into Pathmark, I'm on the phone, I'm paying for the potatoes. I always have in the back of my mind that, wait a second, I changed my mind. I don't need these potatoes. So that's considered to be das od. Buying potatoes is not such an important thing. But when you're involved in very, very heavy duty activities in life, so then people think a lot more carefully, more deliberate in what they do. Person standing under the chuppah. So says the Ran, the guy standing under the chuppah, it's not like buying a bag of potatoes in Bethmark. The guy standing under the chuppah. So you think his das is like this. He takes the ring out, he says the Rebbe Kodesh, and he's thinking in the back of his mind, maybe this is not so serious, maybe I'll back out in a second. No, says the Ran. If it's something which is so significant, so serious, so life-changing, a person's going to be going b'daito mitchila. So therefore, that umdunah of the person was dilly-dallying, he didn't really mean to be going b'daito, cannot apply to such serious things such as kedushin. Or Gerushin, couple's been married for 50 years, he gives his wife a get. Oh, well, he's thinking in the back of his mind, well, maybe I don't really mean it. You don't really mean it, don't do it. But what do you come to Beis and giving a get for? The guy comes to Beis and gives a get to his wife, so it's obvious something that he thought through. The guy's an Ovid of a Zari's Magadev. He knows it's the base of skila waiting for him. He knows he's going to be chayiv skila. So I was just kidding. Didn't really mean to be over to Minnesota today. Didn't really mean to be Magadi today. You meant what you said. You meant what you said. Of course, you were serious in what you did. So says the Ran, it's not like there's a halacha moshti that these four are different. Hagzir sakos of these four are different. The whole reason that created the whole model of Torah Chedidim breaks down when you're dealing with very, very serious types of things. So the Gemara is just spelling out different examples where it's so serious, where it's so obvious that the person's kavanah was really Bidas Gomer all along. So Kofanim, you have two very, very different views of the principle of Torah Chedidim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it never really exists in the Torah. It has no relevance in the Torah. It's just the Rabbanan, here and there they instituted it, and whenever they chose not to, they didn't. According to the Ran, no, it's a dimidarais. It's based on an assessment of the normal Das Adam, but it only applies in those cases where the normal Das Adam would actually be assessed in that manner. So, Kopanim, we have a lot of things we spoke about the role of Dibur and the role of Machshava, what Chalosim are B'Dibur, what Machshava, what things only B'Dibur, when Dibur can be cancelled, when Machshava relates to Dibur, when you can change the Dibur itself. So, I think we can see them on the Sigas in terms of the overall picture, in terms of the role of Dibur and Halachas. So we're hoping for suggestions for next topic. So, okay.